Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. Well, nice. My friend, another week, another awesome show.
Absolutely. This is one of my favorite things to do every week, just so you know. I love it, and I hate it when I have to miss it because of work, but I love doing these shows with you.
Me too, man. Always fun. Great way to heckle each other and, you know, odd stuff. We have to catch up, right? We never get a chance to otherwise.
If we keep this up, people are going to think we like each other.
They don't listen to the show enough then. So in the last episode, we talked about how social media can impact SEO. And we thought, you know, that we kind of, I don't know, we don't believe necessarily that it has as little effect as Google makes it out to. Mm-hmm. However, you know, there is no proof at this point that there is either way, really. I mean, you can't really prove there's nothing because anyway, there's lots of stuff out there. A lot of people have tested things, but nothing that's really been conclusive. Well, I decided I'd look for an article so we could kind of debunk it / approve elements, just like we did for Roger Monty's post, or actually it was just a thread post in Webmaster World.
In this case,
it's an article on SEMrush.com, which is one of my favorite tools, by the way. I love using it, mainly to find out what rankings existing clients have or existing prospects. But, you know, they have a certain amount of clout. So I thought, well, let's look at one of their articles. And in this case, it is, quote-unquote, 8 ways social media can impact your SEO. Sounds rather apt.
Right, so, fits right in with the topic of conversation.
Yeah, so, you know, let's go through this. Let's see, you know, sometimes I find when I see these lists, there's a couple in there that are like, okay, they were running out of ideas. So let's see if any of this sort of stands up. And so the first one, brand awareness. Quote, people who have heard about you on social media search in Google for branded keywords.
Okay, what that impacts is search behavior, not SEO.
Exactly.
Right. So brand awareness, that is a great benefit of using social media, but it's not a direct tie to SEO as we identify SEO, right?
Exactly. Search behavior. All right.
Yes.
We're going to tell them to listen to this podcast.
Right.
No, to be fair, you guys did a great job with this article. I thought it was really well done. Lots of good images and stuff, but what the heck? We need some content, and you're the target. So,
the target. I think we should have a target every week. That's a great idea.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 2, link potential. Well, that's one I definitely know well. I've used that argument a lot. But social sharing can result in citations and links, they say.
And well, you know a lot. What's your thought?
Well, I know it well just because it's one of the few arguments I can make that is, it's true. I mean, if you do get enough shares, the right people will find your content and you will often get a link and citation. I think that's true. So that has an impact on SEO. It's one of those, nothing's direct, but after a couple of steps, you'll get some benefit.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, yes, links are there. That's where links are moving to. People don't write blog posts as much as they used to. They write Facebook posts, right? So those links that used to live on websites are now living in social media. So I agree. Maybe it doesn't have a huge amount of influence right now, but it's going to have more and more influence as time goes on. So I absolutely agree with that one.
Good. Yeah. So I think it's a nice addition there. And you know, there's another point I guess you could make too, that by doing this now, even if it doesn't have an impact now, that history is there. And we all know that it doesn't go away. So there could be some perceived future benefit, right? When Google does figure out how to do this, when another search engine, perhaps a contestant, against Google creates a way to do this and do it well, your hard work will pay off.
So one of the things to think about, though, is one of the things people use in social media for links a lot are URL shorteners, right? So we got to take in mind how people are creating links in social media. Links in Twitter. I don't know what the percentage is, but I would guarantee it's a very, very high percentage of those links are done using URL shorteners. Some of these shorteners are okay for SEO, but you're going to pass through things. So it's not a direct link. Some of them are horrible for SEO. They don't pass anything. So you have to, when you're thinking link potential and how this connects to SEO, you have to think about how are these links created and what's the, what technology gets between your link and your social profile and your actual website.
Excellent point. Okay. Number three, personalized results. Google Plus posts rank in Google. Plus one content ranks higher. Pictures of authors in your circle are visible. These are 3 points they made as of number three. So if someone is in your network, let's say, or they are following you, you create a great post. It's relevant to a search that that person's doing. There is a chance still that your content will show up in results because you are in their circle. So there's validity to that.
Yeah. I've got two problems with this one. One is personalized results means you have to actually be in Google Plus, use Google Plus, and have a group of people that you're connected to in Google Plus. So many people do not do that. Though I don't understand why, because Google Plus is a great network. But if you're thinking from a standard, I'm a small business, how do I want to leverage social for SEO? Unless you are very active in Google Plus specifically, and your audience is very active in Google Plus specifically, this is not going to help you very much at all. My second point about this is, we don't know how this is going to, we don't know what's going to happen here because Google Plus is breaking up. They're changing the way it works. Who knows how long this is going to be even close to a relevant factor?
Well, and there you go to answering your first question, why people aren't using it very much. They don't exactly feel confident about it. I don't even feel confident about it anymore. Google screwed the pooch on that one.
So I'd put a question mark around this one, just saying we don't know if this is going to have any long-term impact.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel comfortable saying yes or no on this one.
True. But I do think it was a nice addition, and it's true enough certainly to add to a list like this. It makes you think, and at this point, I think using Google Plus is a good thing. It has certainly paid off for me, and I think it's a good idea. Of all the networks out there, especially for business, I mean, you look at Facebook, try and get any benefit out of your business page these days? Good freaking luck unless you're throwing money at it.
Yeah, and we brought this up on the last show, and I think this might be the right place to talk about it because this happened probably after this article was written. But now that Google and Twitter are starting to publish tweets in mobile search, you know, we talk about Google Plus posts ranking in Google. Google is actually inserting tweets, related topic tweets, into search results on mobile. So I don't know if they're I don't think they're personalized because I'm not real familiar yet exactly what the how it works on the back end. I'm not sure anybody is yet. But that's another piece where social, the activity you do social directly drives into search results.
Yeah, good point. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a few more points to cover and a great question also from one of our listeners.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at bruceclay.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Reinventing keyword research, simplifying campaign optimization, redefining competitive analysis. SpyFu brings you an entirely new way to find the most profitable keywords for your SEO and PPC campaigns. New tools, new data, and a brand new look. We've streamlined SpyFu so that you can optimize your search engine marketing more efficiently, more accurately, and more intuitively. Visit SpyFu.com. That's S-P-Y-F-U.com. And start downloading your competitors' keywords now. Try it free.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So we were just finishing the personalized results, I believe. And the next one, which is number 4 of 8, is increased domain rankings. Quote unquote, the more your content is shared, the higher your rankings will be. I don't think so.
Not yet. and I think there's a difference here. I think it's increased domain rankings, but then in the quote, it's like the more your content is shared, the higher your rankings should be. I'm not sure whether they're trying to say that if you have a ton of content shared on your site, your overall site will do better, or each of these pieces you share, the more they're shared, the more that individual page will do better from a ranking standpoint. There's two different ways to look at this. But to put it together, I don't think either of those are happening significantly at this point right now.
I'll read off what they say here to see if I can add some clarity. I'm not sure this does, but... if visitors coming to your website from social media, it'll increase your website traffic. All these factors are taken into account by search engines and they'll boost your domain and organic results. That's a stretch.
Yeah, that is a stretch. I mean, even though we did hear John Mueller say that they can check your traffic like instantly, so we know they look at it.
But they don't use it.
but they say they don't use it. They say they don't do a lot of things.
Exactly. Anyway, increased domain rankings. So I don't know about that. I don't think we're both in agreement that's not quite on target there. But
not just yet. I think at some point, more shares will equate to better rankings organically, but I'm talking some point, it's probably years from now.
Mm-hmm. Number 5, social media sites get high rankings. Okay, so your social media pages are likely to rank in the top 10 for your branded keywords.
Totally agree. This is one of those things where if you're really concerned about branded search, someone searches for your brand, they're going to see your website. If you don't have social build out, they're going to see other sites related to you or stories. If you build out your Facebook and your Twitter and your LinkedIn and your YouTube channels, there's a good chance those are going to rank right up there with your website tied to your brand search.
In fact, it's a common, if not overused, technique for reputation management. We've been hired before for clients who have one of those really annoying complaints that just seem to be showing up in their rankings. Well, they create social pages, make sure they work them hard, and ultimately they do often push those out of the top results. It's just one of those things. They do definitely have an impact. How much they do in terms of ranking your site, that's another thing entirely.
Right, and when we're talking about search engine optimization, this is search results optimization probably. This is taking control of that entire search results page for your brand. It's not going to help your website that much. But it is going to help you control that page of results,
mm-hmm.
get more real estate.
I don't even know of any, I'm not sure anyone's bothered because it's probably not that much of a benefit, but there's no studies I've seen on whether or not having one of these pages creates any credibility that improves your rankings.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody studied that or not either.
Pretty hard to study anyway, but
yeah.
Intriguing anyway.
If anybody studied it, Stefan Spencer studied it, but he won't talk about it yet.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, I don't know when he sleeps, really.
He doesn't.
Number six, Google Plus impacts local search. Reviews, plus ones, verified pages, local area codes, complete profiles, and more all help you to rank higher.
I guess...
Yes, to a degree, yes. I mean, in local search, if you have... I wouldn't say Google Plus per se. I would say if your Google My Business page is fully filled. Yeah.
Agreed. It goes back to what we complained about last show, where that one thing has had so many names in the past couple of years. But yeah, if you're talking about from that perspective, I totally agree. Since that whole My Business thing is built into Google Plus at some level, if that's what they're talking about, totally agree.
Yeah. Well, and this is written on April 30th. So, they are probably just out of date on their wording. Google Plus, so Google My Business impacts local search is probably what I would say instead of Google Plus. And if your Google My Business profile is 100%, they actually have a meter when you sign in, and you've got some reviews. I find that's key. You know, good reviews for your site, then yes, that can have a direct impact on local rankings.
So, but let's look at this step, take a step back. Is that a social media platform? Reviews, there's some interaction there, but that means Yelp is a social media platform. That means Foursquare is a social media platform. Foursquare is a little more than Yelp is.
Yeah.
But CitySearch is a social media platform, right?
Is I wouldn't disagree, really? Though. I mean, there's certainly an argument for that.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of a hybrid of social media and
directory.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, good point, and I definitely agree. The wording is just a little different, but anyway, number seven, relevant keywords. Your social media posts will rank for keywords you include.
I'm trying to remember, have I ever seen a Facebook post show up in a search result?
Hell no.
No. And even the public ones, I don't think I've ever seen them show up in search results.
No.
Twitter posts, I mean, you find Twitter pages and profiles and Facebook pages and profiles, but posts, no.
I'm actually kind of surprised about that. I mean, in terms of Twitter posts, because there's probably enough really authoritative material that they should, but it's also pretty hard to tell because it's so fleeting.
I think she was on the right. She was on the right track here when she said relevant keywords, but the way she described it is your post will rank. I don't agree with. I think what happens is if your posts contain relevant keywords, we go back to that link potential, and now you have a post that's relevant, and the link out of that post back to your site is a more relevant link. So it's a higher quality link from that perspective. So relevant keywords do make a difference. When you're posting and you're talking about it, I'm using the open graph to make sure that when people share your content from your site, their posts contain the right terminology is important. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Number eight. Da-da-da-da, the last one. Faster indexing. Social media shares can significantly speed up the content indexing process. Out of the park.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But that is a good one, but only for certain sites. Like, there's like sites that have 20,000 pages. It's going to be much harder for them to get that deep content. If they share that deep content in social, it's going to get indexed faster. If you only got 10 pages on your site, but you're getting crawled every day, it's probably not going to be that much faster.
Yeah, and if you only have two pages in the index, you got problems.
Yeah. I wouldn't be worrying about social as much as...
ouch.
Yeah.
Actually, I was doing an audit for someone, and it baffled me, completely boggled me. In fact, they have a site, they have only submitted 79 of their 460 pages in their index sitemap. Why?
I don't get it. That's all they have in the XML file?
Yeah, and as a result, Google said, well, you've mostly indexed that. Oh, that's great. But, I mean, what about all their other content?
And I've seen that before, and the reason that I've discovered in the past when that happens to some clients is because they build this XML sitemap file and they don't update it as they add new pages, or their technology doesn't allow it to be dynamically updated as they add new content. So they start off with 90 some pages and it's every one of the pages on their site. Then a year later, they've added 200 more pages and none of those are in that XML file.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess that's where we have to thank Google for taking suggestions versus making things the rule. You know, they're going to go, okay, but we see other pages, so we're not going to take this with too much. We're going to take this with a grain of salt.
Exactly.
Because I do notice when I do a site colon search to see how much of their site's indexed, it's in the 400 range.
Yeah, see, that's, So Google is, believe it or not, Google is smart.
Believe it or not. I you know, there's moments, but yes, they are. I guess it's all those PhDs.
Maybe. They could be, yes. Yeah. Could be. Or they listen to the show, one of the two.
Well, we can only hope. Yeah, I mean, geez. They do want to be on the cutting edge, don't they? Well, with that said, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got a good question from Jiwon Garg from our community page.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services, ppcprofessionals.com.
Creating a website is not an easy task, and there are so many companies to choose from.
How do I know which one is best?
It's a big jump making your site mobile-friendly, generating sales, and answering questions with no struggles. If you want to come out on top, you need Frog on Top. At Frog on Top, we take the time to make your site generate money, not just look good. Our team of experts are WordPress savvy, and our customer service is leaps ahead. See why we say our websites are designed better by leaps and bounds by going to frogontop.com. Frog on Top, your one-stop solution for the web. Frogontop.com.
Whether you are an online business or domain name investor, you need access to the best names. With over 270 million domains already registered, finding the right names at the best price requires a great wingman. Namejet.com puts you in the pilot seat by giving you fast and unparalleled access to some of the best premium and expired domain names on earth. As the number one domain name auction platform, Namejet.com is the best place to find domains for your business or investment. So light the afterburners to the domain name aftermarket and fly over to Namejet.com at Mach speed to get great domains today. Namejet.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So, we have a question here. Yeah, a good one. I love this one.
Yep. And I have to, before we ask the question, I have to say, I love this guy's name. And I'm not being funny. I'm not saying being sarcastic. Jiwon Garg is a great name. And I'm very serious when I say my next World of Warcraft character is going to be named Jiwon Garg. Absolutely.
It's very cool. I love it. Jiwon. Yeah. I particularly like that one.
Yeah.
Very neat. So his question, is click-through rate a ranking factor in SEO? Discuss. No wonder he put discuss. Yeah, I mean, like, whoa, yeah, that's a dirty one. how do we get into this one?
Well, to me, this is interesting because there's a lot of terms that are super prevalent in pay-per-click advertising that find their way into SEO because it's interesting because I do it myself sometimes when we talk about the quality of content. You know, every once in a while, I'll find myself talking about a content's quality score. And I'm like, no, there's no such thing as quality score in SEO, but it happens. And CTR to me is one of those things that kind of crosses over between things. What do you think, Ross? I mean, it's like,
Well, I guess first I just caught myself from getting into it a little more deeper without explaining it a little more. So at least as I understand what he's asking here is, if someone clicks to a page, actually maybe not. Is this about the bounce back?
Well, see, there's difference. There's bounce rates. There's click-through rates. Is it click-through rates specifically from search results is the question I would ask. And I'm assuming that's what he's talking about.
That's what I'd assume too.
Oh, yeah. Geez.
Gee Wang, come on, man. You got to be a little more detailed here. So, okay, let's just assume it's from search results and we're talking about the bounce back. Because that's what it makes more sense to me. And it's most interesting, certainly.
Right.
So in that regard, for listeners who may just wonder what the hell we're talking about, if you go to a search result and you're looking at things, you're like, oh, I'm going to click on this one. You go to the site. Nope, not what you wanted. You click right back, and you're once again searching on Google for a better result. Does Google take that into account and go, oh, we didn't provide a very good result to this person. We should take a look at the site. Right. I think they do.
Well, I think
they even mentioned it at one point, didn't they?
I think there's a history of this, right? So long before personal search, it was very clear and it was very, I think we were all in agreement that they did not use click-through rate for anything, right? Then there was the initial phase of personal search where it only did personalized search when you logged in to Google and you were on your Gmail account or any of those Google accounts you were logged in. When you did search, then it was personalized search. And then we started talking about, well, when you're logged in, they may be tracking click-through rates, but only for people that are logged in. Then personalized search switched from, you don't have to be logged in anymore. We're doing personalized search across the board, whether you're logged in or not. Then the question became, did they still use click-through rates after they removed the login factor from personal search? And that, to me, is where the question is. And I'm not sure we have a real specific answer. I am assuming they still do, but I don't know if I can back that up with anything.
I found a fantastic result here. I love Pete Myers, Dr. Pete. He has an article on this exact topic I just
nice.
Found.
I'll send Dr. it over Pete to you here.
So it says the two user metrics that matter for SEO. And it's fairly old. It's 2012, but I mean, that's how long we've been talking about this.
Oh, yeah.
He says there are two user metrics, I'm quoting here, that both Google and Bing have direct access to. Number one, search engine result click-through rate. And number two, dwell time. Now, dwell time is how long you stay in a particular page before coming back.
Is that different than bounce rate?
Yes.
Yeah, because bounce rate's a percentage, right? Versus dwell time is a time. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Okay. So the official word is that analytics data is not used for ranking from Google. Well, they don't need the analytics data, and that's something he gets at. They can track this by other means. Now, again, this is just so topical. Let's just read a little bit of this. One argument you hear all the time is that Google can't possibly use something like bounce rate as a ranking signal because bounce rate is very site dependent and unreliable by itself. I hear it so often that I wanted them to take a moment to say that I don't buy this argument for one simple reason. Any ranking signal by itself is unreliable. I don't know a single SEO who would argue that title tags don't matter. For example, and yet title tags are incredibly easy to manipulate. On-page factors in general can be spammed. That's why Google adds links to the mix. Links can be spammed. That's why they're adding social metrics and user metrics. With over 200 ranking factors, Bing claims over 1,000, of course, no single factor has to be perfect.
Yeah. And he also in this article, he makes a really good point by showing in Webmaster Tools, now it's a Google Search Center. Is that the new name?
Search Console.
Search Console, right? They have been showing us for quite some time, one of the metrics that you can see in there is click-through rate. So if they're tracking it, they're reporting it to us, why would they not be using it?
Yeah, well, and especially if it's accomplishing their one purpose, which is to provide the best search experience for the users. If it's as simple as them going, oh, you just came back, that was really quick. Within a certain threshold of time, they could flag a page for either further analysis with their algorithm or maybe even send it to their hands-on team. They've got a group of people that actually do just check their algorithm quality by just checking pages by hand.
So now let's think about this a little bit different, though. There's also a possibility that Google uses click-through rate not so much as a tool to say this page should rank better, but more of a, our algorithm is not doing a good job, yeah. right? Because we know a single page...
Yeah, they don't care about the page. No.
Yeah, the page itself can rank for multiple terms. And the click-through rate was going to be different for each of those terms based on where it's at in the page, what the metadata says related to the search. There's a lot of variables there based on what the search query was. So I think Google's more likely using click-through rate to improve their algorithms and what pages they show, more so than looking at an individual page and saying, okay, this page is not good because nobody's clicking on it. They're looking at, we didn't serve the right page because nobody's clicking on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and just so people know, click-through rate is based on, at least in this case, impressions then clicks. So how many times does your listing show up in search results, and how many times was it clicked? It's the percentage of that. Right. And that's a key issue here. So if you have a high click-through rate, that's pretty important. They don't mention anything here about bounce.
But here's the point I was trying to make earlier, though. If it's more about Google using click-through rate to determine whether they are displaying the proper pages, how do we impact that as an SEO, right? So we know page A can rank for 10 different phrases. On phrases 1 through 8, it does very good on click-through rate. On phrases 9 and 10, it doesn't. So for those two instances, how do we impact that as an SEO? We can't. It's Google has to say, okay, we showed the wrong page for this particular search result. I don't think there's anything we can do from an SEO standpoint to influence that, other than really making sure that each page only just targeted one term, but that's not effective anymore for many other reasons, right?
So back to this dwell time, which is metric number two. Dr. Pete here puts out an interesting quote from Dwayne Forrester, who is – I guess he's back there. Was he brought back to Bing? I think he was.
Yeah, he's back at Bing now.
Yeah, he was sort of the front guy for Bing when it comes to this kind of algorithmic work.
He's the Matt Cutts of Bing.
Yes, he says, and this is where it gives a bit of a giveaway, quote unquote. This is from Dwayne Forrester. Your goal should be that when a visitor lands on your page, the content answers all of their needs, encouraging their next action to remain with you. If your content does not encourage them to remain with you, they will leave. The search engines can get a sense of this by watching the dwell time, the time between when a user clicks on our search result and when they come back from your website tells a potential story. A minute or two is good, as it can easily indicate the visitor consumed your content. Less than a couple of seconds can be viewed as a poor result. Then Pete goes on here to say, dwell time, in a sense, is an amalgam of bounce rate and time on site metrics. It measures how long it takes for someone to return to a search engine result page after clicking on a result. And it can be measured directly from the search engine's own data. Nice. I think that closes the door and makes this pretty obvious, right? I mean,
I think click-through rate is something separate from dwell time and
G1's. Both, yeah.
Yeah, G1's question was specific to click-through rate. I think they have two different answers. I think absolutely dwell time is going to be a factor. Click-through rate is a factor, but not a factor that we have any control over. It's because when they look at click-through rate, they're looking at how well they did, not how well we did. When they're looking at dwell time, they're looking at how well we did, right?
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, we do have control over click-through rate, though.
No, we don't.
To a degree. Sure we do, to a degree. Yeah, that's the quality of the title. It's the quality of the attraction, the description tag.
Okay, to a degree, you're right. But I think a lot of it also has to do with where the engines place us in the rankings. We know click rate changes dramatically between position 1 and between position 8, between that's position true. 14, right? So that's the engine has to determine that. We can help work on that by increasing rankings, which will increase click-through rate, right? But So we're not going to increase ranking because we increased click-through rate. We're going to increase our click-through rate because we increased rankings.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I think we've got a few people out there going, oh, F this show. I'm off. This doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. Yeah. How many eyes are glazed over right now? We could probably make quite a few Krispy Kreme glazed donuts.
Well, that was a great question, Gion. Thank you. And I hope you liked our answer. It was fun talking about it. And I welcome anyone to add that kind of a question out there. We love them, especially those open, really thoughtful questions. It's a good one. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we're at the end of our show here. So on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Cartcut, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google Plus. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, Wednesday on webmasterradio.fm. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.